Welcome aboard Paulding County to another edition of My Sports. My name is Pete Seymour, thanking you oh so much for choosing to spend a piece of your morning with me. We're chatting Paulding County Athletics another Saturday morning. This one a little bit different, though, because it is beautiful out. Finally, the weather's starting to break. Fingers crossed, hopefully the rest of the weekend stays up in the 60s, even 70s. I know yesterday it was almost 80, but we have a lot to chat about with some nice weather, some baseball we need to talk about, some softball we need to talk about. Finally, these spring sport athletes starting to get some games in, so we have to chat about all of that today. We might sprinkle in a little bit of track and field as well, give track and field some love, as we talked a lot of track and field last week. But that does bring me to our guest today, and he is none other than Dan Carnahan, longtime umpire and longtime official in Northwest Ohio and a household name in Paulding County. That conversation is coming up next. He's going to walk me through some of the challenges of spring sports and how rewarding it is and how rewarding his career has been being an official and an umpire in Northwest Ohio. So all that and plenty more coming up on this edition of My Sports. Whoever you are and however you're listening, my name's Pete Seymour, thanking you for not just joining me this week, but every week for another edition of My Sports. And we get it all rolling right after this. Stay with me, Paulding County. It's My Sports. It continues next right here on My 102.7 FM.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
We're back here on My Sports, and we are talking with longtime basketball official and longtime umpire for softball, Dan Carnahan. Dan, I appreciate you taking some time today. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, Pete.
First off, I hope all has been well. How did everything go through the winter sports for you?
Winter sports is always a long season. You got like almost 4 months there from November through February, some parts, first part of March. But all in all, it wasn't too bad this year.
Now, when did you decide in your career that, hey, I want to pick up umpiring and officiating?
I think I was right around 30 years old. A best friend from high school and I kind of had grown apart in getting to hang out together. And we'd gotten together one night and said, why don't we take up officiating so we can be on the court and hang out a little bit? So that's what we did. We got our license and started officiating basketball.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, growing up, were you around the game a lot? Did it also help, you know, being a little bit easier to transition over to a official having playing?
As a player, you think you know all the rules.
Right.
And then you take the course, and it just blows your mind how things you thought were a rule really weren't a rule, you know. But, yeah, I grew up playing all the sports. I played baseball as a young kid and then basketball, track, football. So it was pretty easy getting into it then.
I know you have had a pretty long career umpiring and officiating. I know this might be a shot in the dark for you. What were some of your favorite softball or basketball games that you've been a part of in your career?
I'm trying to think how long it's been. Probably maybe 13 to 15 years ago in basketball, we had a 4-overtime game with Liberty Center Patrick Henry.
Wow.
Which was pretty exciting. You know, if you have 1 overtime, it's pretty cool. But the only bad thing was it was during a weeknight, and I usually get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I ran a beer route years ago, and I would get up at 4 o'clock and go into work. So that was a short night, but yeah, everybody needed to have a 4-overtime basketball game.
Now with emotions running so high, like they do in those games, you being an official, how hard is it for you, or what steps do you take to kind of keep everybody with cool heads?
I've said for years, I think basketball is getting to be too physical, and you know, everybody uses the terminology of let them play, you know. Mm-hmm. But in my years of experience, if you call a game the way it's supposed to be called, everybody understands, you know, they're not going to get by with stuff. And then I think it just helps make the game run smoother. I've never had to eject a player for fighting.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think part of that reason is you keep the game under control, and, you know, things like that don't happen, but the main thing is you want to try to be consistent. I've been to games to where they call little fouls the entire game, and then I've been to games to where they don't call the fouls, and coaches early on, they pick up on that. So they just, you know, they just kind of want you to be consistent throughout, and a good official usually is pretty consistent with that. And a lot of it too is the crews you work with. I've been fortunate to work a lot of my games with at least one partner, sometimes two, that you go throughout the season and you have 10, 15 games together and you kind of get to know each other. So I know that he's going to call that foul on this end. So when I go the other end, I got to call the same thing. And but you work with some guys to where you'll call a foul and go to the other end and the same exact foul. And that's not their style. So they let them play. And then you start hearing from coaches. But
got it. That's definitely an interesting way to look at it, especially just from an outside perspective on how games are actually called. Now, earlier you had mentioned about the courses you had to go through. For someone who's looking to get into umpiring or officiating, what's that process look like?
I tell you what, Pete, that has changed so much in the last couple years. It used to be, if you wanted to officiate softball, for example, you had to start taking that course just a few weeks before the softball season started. So when you just about get done with your course, you're right into the scrimmage season, and you can get out there on the field and get some practice in and stuff like that. And now you can whenever you want, you just get online and you take them classes. So like right now, I could get in there right now and do a basketball, you know, if I wanted to learn basketball.
Got it.
Rule.
Yep.
And the only bad thing with that is you don't get your on-court experience or your on-field experience anymore like you used to, because everything's online. So these guys are coming out and stepping on the court for the first time, and they haven't even blown their whistle yet. And that makes it really hard. You know, like I said, when my first game, I was 30. I was 30 years old. And looking back, I thought I was a terrible official at that age. You know, there's so many times, you know, you think if the crowd's yelling at you, you think you missed something.
Yeah. Yeah.
In reality, if the crowd's yelling at you, 50% of them argue with you with the call you made, and the other 50% like the call you made. So you just got to be yourself out there on the court. And it's kind of hard to do, you know, when you're first starting out, especially if you don't have any experience.
Yeah, I really like that perspective, because you always hear somebody, you know, whichever way it is, one way or the other, but you're always going to make probably at least 50% of the people happy. It's just staying true to yourself and staying true to your calls. And that's really interesting, too, that you can take a class so close, like, and do that and then just be able to hop in and start going. That's kind of crazy to me.
Well, I think you definitely need to have a good knowledge of the game. And if you have a good knowledge of the game, you play the game, that is going to tremendously help you in the long run. But yeah, those guys that just want to do it to get into the sport to maybe make some money, it's rough on them, because like I said, everybody wants to complain about calls or no calls. And sometimes too, you hear people hollering in the stands, and you might have three or four guys that's doing all the hollering, but you just feel like the whole crowd is turning on you. Mm-hmm. And most fans get it. You know, they know there's a shortage and they know they got to kind of lay off the officials, but there's always them four or five that paid to get in and they want to get their money's worth. So it just seems like sometimes it's the entire crowd and it's really not.
What were some of the life lessons that you've learned through officiating or umpiring? Because I can say I did take a class back when I was in high school, and the number one thing it taught me was thick skin.
That's a lot of it. And over the years, I've really learned to listen to coaches. Now, you will still have some coaches that just want to control the game, and that does not sit well with me. I will let a coach talk as long as he wants to talk, but when you start kind of telling the official what he's got to do, what you got to call, things like that, I mean, once it turns to them making it personal, then it's no longer fun, and I mean, you got to deal with that. But that's my main thing, I think, is just learning to talk with the coaches. A lot of times, they just want to be heard. You know, they're out there coaching either, you know, the nine kids on the softball diamond or five kids on the court, and the kids aren't doing what they want. And next thing you know, the coach turns on the officials. And a lot of times I think if you just listen to what they're saying and say, yep, I'll keep an eye on that or I'll watch for that coach, a lot of times that's all you have to do.
So is the breaking point for you as an official, I don't want to use the term breaking point, but when it becomes personal, when a coach, you know, maybe says something to you as an official, is that the time when you said, hey, all right, now I got to deal with this. Maybe there's a technical coming up.
You know, you can kind of sense a coach on the sideline, you know, what's going on. And most coaches will work with you. I've always told a coach, hey, if I miss something, I'm fine with you letting me know. Dan, that was a travel down there. You missed that. And move on. You know, there ain't going to change anything. But in the third quarter, if you're questioning the travel call in the first quarter, then it's time to, you know, you need to turn and start coaching the kids and, you know, let's try to get back to the normal. Some of that, you just kind of got to take with a grain of salt. And most coaches will do that, you know, when you let them know that. And if not, then, you know, you just got to go the other route. But.
And I feel like another really rewarding part of being an umpire, being an official, is being able to help teach the kids the game. You know, if somebody messes up, even at a lower level, being able to not scold them as a referee, you can just kind of take them to the side and say, hey, this is what you can do so you don't foul here. And I can tell you, playing baseball and soccer, I can't tell you the amount of people I've had do this next time and it won't be a foul. I think that's pretty neat.
A lot of that, Pete, I try to stay away from that, and for this reason, I've had a coach come up to tell me, you know what, I coach my kids. I don't need you telling them what to do.
Really?
Now, as bad as that sounds, 90% of the coaches will say, hey, thank you. You know,
yeah.
For example, when I'm behind the plate and I see a catcher a little too close to the batter, and then as the ball's coming in, she's reaching forward to get the ball, I always tell her, hey, catcher, you can go where you want to go, but for your safety, you may want to just back up a little bit. Or
exactly.
I'll go to the coach and say, hey, to keep your catcher a little safer, you may want to tell her to quit reaching out or to back up. But, yeah, I mean, it's for the good of the game and you're helping the kids. But, unfortunately, some coaches don't like that. So you really kind of got to watch what you do there. But, yeah, I agree with you. It's always good to work with the kids, especially in the JV or the junior high level, and just give them little pointers on you know, what they can do to get a foul or to not get a foul. One of my greatest things I always used to tell the kids is when especially basketball, if a ref calls a foul on you and you fouled, tell the ref, good call. Because as an official, the only thing we usually ever hear is, I didn't touch him. So when you say, hey, good call, ref, and then when you hear that, I didn't touch him, we probably know we missed it.
That's just really interesting perspective. I like that a lot. Yeah, you know, because everybody's learning in that situation too. I mean, the kid's owning up to foul that he made. He knew it was a foul, and then in your mind, you can, yeah, it was a foul. Absolutely, you confirm it. So that's really neat. So I have to ask, with all the change in spring sports, the weather, and everything, how is it dealing with all of that as an umpire?
With my schedule anymore, like the last 5 years, I fill my schedule up. I'll just about do a game every night, except for Sunday night. Last year, we had a lot of rainouts. I'll bet I lost probably 15 to 18 games.
Wow.
But then with having a full schedule, when they make them games up, I'm not available either. So it's a lot of income you lost, but that's what I do anymore. I try to keep as busy as I can just for that reason. Now, the bad part of that is if you get a dry spell, you got a lot of games in a, you know, 2-3 week period that kind of you're exhausted by the time the week's over, but that's usually how I deal with my week. I try to stay as busy as possible, and the more reps you get on something, you know, the better you're going to be when it comes to tournament time.
And that's one thing I wanted to ask was, what is your advice to a younger official, a newer official, you know, somebody you see that was maybe in your shoes? What are you telling them?
I tell them on nights you don't have games, go find a Dan Carnahan or a seasoned veteran official and go to a game of theirs and ask them after game, hey, can you kind of tell me why you did this or why you did that? You can learn a lot by watching other umpires, especially softball. I'd go down to Finley quite a bit in the summertime. And that's kind of where I got noticed that some people started working with me. And so in between games, you know, you'd do two and then you'd set one. That one I set, I'd always be out there on the field watching the other umpires. And man, you can learn a lot by watching and then asking the questions afterwards. And most umpires are more than glad to help you because they want to make you a good official too, because somewhere down the road, you're going to be working with them. You have a game to where one umpire struggles. Unfortunately, you kind of both get graded on a bad note, you know, but if you can make each other better, it's only going to help you in the long run.
Now, who's the best person to contact, someone looking to start officiating or umpiring as soon as even next football season?
They can contact the OHSAA, their website, and it says right on the website what they need to do. Like I said, that has really changed the last couple of years,
yeah.
And I'm not up to date on that, Pete.
Okay.
But I know if you contact them, it's on their website, what you need to do to take the courses and stuff. I would tell anybody, you know, go out there and get that license. You can always just do one game a week or three games a week, or you can sign up for five a week, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of at your leisure, you know, when you want to work. And if something happens, you don't like it and it's not for you, you know, you really haven't lost anything, because the money you spend on uniforms and stuff, you usually have that back within the first couple of weeks if, you know, if you do three, four, five games a week. So, but yeah, all the sports are looking for officials. I know there's shortages everywhere, but the older guys are, you know, that average age is really moving up, and a lot of younger people take the course and then they, you know, they drop out for whatever reason, but they're always looking for officials.
Now, did you do the state softball tournament last year?
Last year, I did not. The year before was my last year that I've done it, and that was my third one. But that was my first time doing the plate.
Gotcha.
Which is exciting. I mean, that's kind of the highest honor you can get is doing a state plate game, and it's just totally different than doing the bases, you know, because you're kind of in charge of the crew and. But very exciting. And now with this new go about, the old rule was you could only go to state every other year. But now with the extra three divisions, it's almost like they need double the umpires. And I have a feeling they're going to have to let guys go back to state every year to get, you know, you want the best of the best officiating the games and stuff. And so I think that's going to change this year. And until the tournament games come out, you know, we won't know. But even the regional levels, you know, they need double the umpires almost. And so a lot's going to change this year, you know, and we won't know for sure until everything comes out. We've probably got a couple weeks yet before we start getting game assignments. But this should be a state year for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm down there pretty much every other year, and I was almost positive I was down there and heard your name. I'm like, oh, man, that is Dan down here doing the state tournament. So anyway.
Yeah, I did go down last year just to watch because, you know, even at my level, I mean, I've done softball for 19 years. I still enjoy going down and watching other officials in the same way as me. I'll ask them after a game, hey, can I ask why you called that obstruction or why you didn't call that obstruction and this and that? And just hanging out with them guys, it's a great atmosphere, and you can learn a lot. Them guys down there at Akron, I mean, they're there for a reason. So, a lot of talented people.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Dan, I won't keep you any longer, but thank you so much for your years of service, umpiring, and, of course, you know, mentoring any of the younger guys for any profession and, you know, really anything. It's really good to have that mentor. And, yeah, thank you for all you've done, and best of luck the rest of the year. Hopefully you get as many games in as you can and these spring athletes too.
Well, Pete, I do want to say one thing too. Yeah. I mean, you radio guys, I love working with you guys because after a game, there's a couple people that I will go up, Kenny Stabler being one. I'll go up to Kenny and say, hey, you know, that call in the game, what did you have? You know, was it good? Was it bad? Getting feedback from you guys helps too. So I appreciate what you guys do and announcing the games and working with us and helping us out as well. So.
Well, hey, thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate it, and I have an absolute blast, just so you know that as well. And we couldn't do what we do without you doing what you do, so thank you so much, and fingers crossed, get as many games in as you can.
It's warming. We're ready.
Well, hey, Dan, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. Have a great
welcome,
rest of your
Pete.
Day, and thank you.
Yep, have a happy Easter.
You too. A big thanks to our guest today, longtime umpire and official in the Paulding County area, Dan Carnahan. Thank you so much for your time, and you heard him. Anybody interested in umping or repping, reach out to Dan. He is more than willing to help mentor some young umpires and officials. All right, time for a break here on My Sports. We need to get to some of the action that happened in this past week. We're talking baseball. We're talking softball right after this. Stay with me, Paulding County. It's My Sports, and it continues next right here on My 102.7 FM.
This program is sponsored in part by the Wayne Trace Boosters. Please join us at a Wayne Trace sporting event as we cheer on our Raiders at home and on the road. Go Raiders!
The Antwerp Athletic Boosters are proud to support all of our Antwerp Archer athletes. Join us for a sporting event and cheer on the Archers.
We're back here on My Sports, and a big thank you to our guest today, longtime official in Northwest Ohio, Dan Carnahan. You heard him talk about getting the opportunity to do the state softball tournament. You've seen him all around Northwest Ohio. Go up and shake Dan's hand and thank him for your service if you get a chance. All right, let's chat some softball from earlier in the week. finally, the weather's starting to look a little bit better, and the Antwerp Bats, the Lady Archers, looking really good back on Monday. 15 runs on 12 hits, no errors, in an absolute stomping of Kaleida. 2 runs on 7 hits and 2 errors. Well, stay with me. 15 runs on 12 hits. A little bit to get through. Ellie Clem, she had 3 singles, 3 runs, and an RBI. Also was the winning pitcher in this one with 2 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 4 Ks, and no walks. Madison Schmidt, also really nice job in the circle. 3 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, both earned 4 Ks and 2 walks. Ayla Clem, she singled and scored 3 runs. Raleigh Franklin also crossed the plate once. Mercedes McCoy scored 1 and drove 1 in. Caroline Roars, she singled, had a home run, and 6 RBI on the day. Yeah, 6 RBI day for Caroline Roars. Claire Roars, she singled and scored a run. Raylan Zuber also crossed the plate once. Madison Schmidt, 2 singles, 2 driven in. Avery Hungenford, a single, a triple, a run, and 1 driven in. Hayden Langotcher, she scored. Kaylee McCoy also crossed the plate once. Allison Sproles, a double, a run, and an RBI. Once again, the Lady Archers all over Kaleida, 15-2. More softball. We're talking Paulding Panther Lady softball. It was Paulding all over Holgate in a shutout victory. Paulding, 12 runs on 16 hits, again from earlier in the week. And it was the top of the 6th inning where Paulding really poured it on with 7 runs. But Tia Mendez in the circle, no hits, no runs, 5 Ks, no walks. Jalen Kloffenstein, 4 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 4 Ks, and no walks. Just a stellar job in the circle by the Paulding Lady Panthers. And at the plate, well, Brooklyn Bakel, a 2 home run day. She scored twice and drove in 4. Caden Schaub, 2 singles, a triple, 4 runs. Mariah Kloffenstein, a double, a triple, a run, and 2 RBI. Gabby Stork crossed the plate once. Tia Mendez, 2 singles, a run, and 2 RBI to her name. Doubled home a run. Jalen Kloffenstein, 2 singles. Marley Parrott, a single, a home run, a run, and 3 driven in. Darcy Taylor, single run, and Civil Pumphrey also singling and scoring. More softball. Let's talk about the red, white, and blue and the Lady Raiders. Well, it was a tough one for them earlier in the week against Heritage. 6 runs, 3 hits, no errors for Heritage. And the category that really killed the red, white, and blue, 5 errors. No runs, 2 hits, 5 errors for Wayne Trace. In the circle, it was Avery Knopfinger. She went 4 and a third, did take the loss. 2 hits, 5 runs, only 2 of those earned, striking out 2 while walking 7. The other Wayne Trace pitcher, Brooke Tigner, 1 and 2 thirds. She allowed 1 hit, 1 run. That was not earned. No strikeouts, no walks. But again, that 5 errors really killing the Wayne Trace Lady Raiders in this one. Give some credit to Danica Fuller, 7 innings, complete game, 2 hits, no runs, struck out 13. Those 2 hits for the Wayne Trace Lady Raiders came off the bat of Olivia Zartman and Ariana Viola. So that's a look at some of the softball scores from this past week. And one thing we haven't done here on My Sports yet is take a look at the softball standings. These are as updated as I have them right now. GMC play, it is in full swing. 2-0 are those Ayersville Pilots, 7-2 overall. But Paulding right behind them, 6-4 overall, 2-0 in league play. Tenora 2-0, 5-4. Fairview 2-0, 8-7. Edgerton's 0-2, 7-3 overall. Archers still looking for their first win in conference play, 7-5 overall, 0-2. Wayne Trace 0-2, 5-7. Hicksville 0-2, and 4-8. And that is a look at your Green Meadows Conference standings as of right now. All right, that's a little bit of a taste of some softball from this past week. Able to get some games in, some really nice weather. Hopefully it has broke for good. We can only cross our fingers and hope. All right. Time for a break here on My Sports. When we come back, we're chatting some baseball from this past week, and I know a lot of the Paulding County teams hitting the diamond a little later on today. We're talking baseball right after this. Stay with me. It's My Sports on My 102.7 FM.
Hey, we've all been there. You're in the middle of something important, and then, boom, the power goes out. But what if it didn't? What if you skipped the candles and the flashlights and just carried on with your day? With a Kohler generator, your power stays on even when the utility power goes out. So your food stays fresh, your home stays powered. Get a reliable Kohler generator at Sweater Electric in Paulding.
We're back here on My Sports, and we just wrapped up our conversation with longtime referee and official in Paulding County in Northwest Ohio in general, Dan Carnahan. And of course, if you missed that conversation, All of these episodes, they're archived on the my1027.org website for on-demand access. So after this one's over, if you're not going to catch some baseball a little bit later on in the day, flip on some of the previous episodes and take a listen to some of the great guests that we've had on My Sports so far, not just this year, but over my 3 years doing it. It has been a ton of fun. We've talked to some really good people. All right, time to chat some baseball. Let's take you through it from earlier in the week, and we're going to start back on Monday. And it was Antwerp falling to Parkway in a tough one, 15-4, 15 runs, 14 hits. That is efficiency for the Parkway Panthers. Isaac Beveridge, he picks up the win on the mound. 4 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, 7 Ks, and 2 walks. Tyler Miller also in relief, 1 inning and 1 strikeout for the Parkway Panthers. Aiden Leachty, he went 1 1/3, 3 hits, 4 runs, all earned, no Ks and a walk. Dylan Hahn, an inning, 5 hits, 6 runs, 2 earned, no strikeouts and no walks. And then Tegan Marlin, 2 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, 5 earned, 3 Ks, and 4 walks. At the plate for Antwerp, Raylan Moreno, he singled. Aiden Leachty, he came across the plate once. Lucas Sproles, a single and a run scored. Jackson Jones, he singled, he tripled with 2 RBI driven in. Dylan Hahn, he also scored a run. Tegan Marlin, a single and a run scored. And then Michael Roars, a single and 1 RBI. Once again, Parkway 15, Antwerp 4 in this one. More baseball takes us to Paulding. It was Montpelier on top of Paulding in this one, and they broke out the bats in a big way. 13 runs in the first 2 innings. For Montpelier, 18 runs on 13 hits, 1 error. The line score for Paulding, 3 runs on 4 hits and 3 errors. Jackson Stoller, 5 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 5 Ks, and 4 walks for Montpelier. They were really good on the mound and at the plate. Colton Hunt, he did take the loss, only went in 1/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 7 runs, all earned with 6 walks. Also on the bump, Grady Barton, 2 2/3. 7 hits, 7 runs, all earned, 1 strikeout, and 3 walks. Hayden Elston, also in relief, 2 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned, no strikeouts, and a walk at the plate. Well, it was tough going for the Paulding Panthers. All their runs, 1 in the first 3 innings. That tallies their 3. Grayson Harder, he scored 2 of those. Kane Jones singled. Grady Barton had an RBI. Nick Bauman also a single. Tyler Goring's a run scored. Carter Evans, a knock on the day. And then Stroker Etter, single and scored a run. More baseball. Yep, we are catching up with stuff. Yeah, of course, because some games didn't get played in later weeks, but it was Wayne Trace falling to Ottawa Glandorf in a tight one. It was one that the Raiders led for a lot of the way, but Ottawa Glandorf in the bottom of the 6th inning puts up a 4 spot. Wayne Trace can only answer with 1 in the 7th. 6 runs, 9 hits, 4 errors for OG. For the Raiders, 5 runs on 6 hits and 5 errors. The losing pitcher, Jonathan Sterrett, 4 2/3, 9 hits, 6 runs, 3 earned, 2 Ks. He battled out there. Tanner Lockoff in relief. Went 1 1/3 innings, no hits, no runs, and 1 strikeout at the plate. Well, Tanner Lockoff helping himself out. He had a single and 2 runs scored. Jack Schoenauer also crossed the plate once. Tyson Gerber, 2 singles, an RBI. Carter Bumley, 2 singles, a run, and an RBI. Caden Sinn, a single, an RBI. And then Tyler Head also crossing the plate once. But it was OG getting best of the Wayne Trace Raiders 6-5 in this one. Well, I know we usually do these in separate segments, but today I want to talk about some track because it was the Wayne Trace Track Invitational this past week. And again, it's not just baseball and softball who haven't been able to get some of these games in. Track and field also very much affected by the weather. So let's take you through some of the top performances from the Wayne Trace Invitational this past week. And we'll start with the 4x800-meter relay. And it was Wayne Trace's Eli Treese, Reese Moorhead, Ben Gurney, and Cole Moorhead a second-place finish in a time of 8:51.23, Tenora the only team finishing ahead of them, Paulding right behind them with Achilles Meade, Landon Grinnell, Cully Thompson, and Max Degger, time of 8:56.88. In the boys' 4x200-meter relay, it was Wayne Trace's Corbin Varner, Gage Ogle, Ben Gurney, and Reese Olwin with a time of 1:37 to take first place. Ayersville behind them, then Tenora, Paulding then in fourth, Alex Santillan, the freshman, along with Alex Highwarden, Jeremiah Koenig, and Balu Amanyayan, a time of 1:38.83, good for a fourth-place finish. Let's take a look at the boys' 1,600-meter run. Some Paulding County names sprinkled throughout the top finishes here. Tenora coming in first and second, but then it was Achilles Meade of Paulding, a time of 4:52 flat. And then in the finals, a time of 4:53.52. good for a third-place finish. Also, Caden Winslow from Antwerp turned in a really nice time, especially in the finals, with a time of 4:56.36. That edges his 5:03.82 in seeding. Cully Thompson, the senior from Paulding, also ran a really nice race, 5:13.68. The boys' 4x100-meter relay, Clay Stoller, Reese Olwen, Brady Miller, and John Vilma. The team from Wayne Trace took second place with a time of 46.4 flat, earning 8 points for the red, white, and blue. Then the boys' 400-meter dash, Eli Treese, he's been so good all year from Wayne Trace, 51.02 and 51.8 in the finals. Dane Scholl in third place, 51.6 and then 53.48, good for a third-place finish. And then Gage Ogle as well from Wayne Trace, 57 flat, 55.56. All right, let's take you over the hurdles. Clay Stoller, the junior from the Wayne Trace Raiders, 43.45, his finals time, good for a first-place finish. And then Reese Olwen, the sophomore from Wayne Trace, a time of 44.91. Boys 800-meter run, Cole Moorhead from the Wayne Trace Raiders, time of 2:07.19 in the finals, good for a first-place finish. Then Landon Grinnell from Paulding, a time of 2:08.23 in the finals, good for third place. Boys 200-meter dash, it was the Antwerp Archers 1 and 2 here. Dane Scholl, Tavin Scholl right behind him, 23:73, and I said right behind him, that was Dane Scholl's time, Tavin Scholl's time, 23:74. Yeah, 23:73, 23:74 for Dane and Tavin Scholl. Crazy. Eli Treese, the sophomore from Wayne Trace, turns in a time of 23:87. So Paulding County goes 1-2-3 in the boys' 200-meter dash. So congratulations to all the athletes this past week, whether it was softball, whether it was baseball, whether it was track and field. The weather was nice. You guys were out doing your thing, and it was really good to see. So keep it up all the way around. I'm really excited to see how these spring sports progress and how they play out. Baseball should be a lot of fun. Track and field should be a lot of fun. We've had a few track and field coaches on. Again, all of those episodes, they are archived on the My1027 website. If you want to go back and listen to some episodes that really emphasize track and field, we have that for you here on My Sports. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we need to give out some thank yous to put a lid on this edition of My Sports. Back after this, right here on My 102.7 FM.
My Sports is sponsored by the Dooley Funeral Homes of Antwerp and Payne, a life story funeral home. You can learn how pre-planning makes sense by calling 419-258-5684 or 419-263-0000. The Dooley Funeral Home.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
And we're back here on My Sports with one final thing to do, and that is to hand out some thank yous like we do each and every week. And the first one goes to our guest today, Dan Carnahan, longtime official and referee in Northwest Ohio and Paulding County. Like I mentioned earlier, if you see Dan, go shake his hand and thank him for all of his service that he has given to so many athletes over the years. Thank you for the time this morning, Dan. Pleasure to have you on once again. And our next thank yous, well, they go out to our sponsors because without them, I wouldn't be here doing this. So I very, very, very much appreciate you guys. And they are Paulding County Economic Development, Schweller Electric, Williamson Crop Insurance, and of course the Dooley Funeral Homes of Antwerp and Payne. Without you guys, I would not be here telling the stories of your student athletes in Paulding County. So once again, thank you so much for the support, not just this year, but year in and year out. Well, first and foremost, happy Easter. I hope you get to spend time with family. I hope you have a great Easter Sunday, really special day. So first and foremost, happy Easter to all. And second, man, I'm so glad the weather's starting to clear up, not just so I can go out and play golf, but seriously, so these athletes can go and get their games in, their meets in. It's really nice when the weather is nice in the spring. When it's not, things get dicey, but hey, things are looking up right now. Okay, Well, that will do it for me today. We talked to our guest, Dan Carnahan. We talked some baseball. We talked some softball. We talked some track and field. So that's another week of My Sports packed away in the books, whoever you are. And however you're listening, my name's Pete Seymour, thanking you for not just joining me this week, but every week for another edition of My Sports. Have a great week, Baldwin County, and I'll talk to you next week, same time, same place, from the My 1027 WMYW studios. Until then, have a great week, and take care.
My Sports is sponsored by the Dooley Funeral Homes of Antwerp and Payne, a life story funeral home. You can learn how pre-planning makes sense by calling 419-258-5684 or 419-263-0000. The Dooley Funeral Home.